liberty one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to look into your word, to learn from you. We just lift up our church to you. Pray, Father, that we could be your hands, feet, legs, mind, and mouth in this community, in the lives of our families, our friends. Give us strength, Lord, to change what's inside of us so that we could then, for your name's sake, change what's outside of us. Pray, Father, for the kids in Children's Church. Pray that they would learn. Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 through 33. I've already read the whole thing, but what I want you to see real quickly as you look at this is that it is written, this passage has a subheading over it that's in the Bible. It says, do not fear. Here we are with Halloween right around the corner, a time when everybody's supposed to be afraid of going to the haunted house. Be afraid, be very afraid. I thought it was kind of funny that they had the haunted house in the basement of the Elks. Because I've been in the basement of the Elks, and it's kind of scary down there. It wasn't even Halloween. But I understand that it's all fun, and you know, I'm not picking on that. But it's this whole idea of the things that we do to kind of breed and promote fear with skeletons and witches and stuff. I saw a little display out at Havelock Building Supply, and I thought, when did a clown become something scary? Yeah, I hear somebody saying what I'm thinking. They've always been kind of scary. But I tell you, a fun-filled clown that was at the circus, and now it's a horror thing. And it is kind of scary if you've ever seen or read the book. Yeah. But I want to challenge you today to read what it says in the Bible. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the rooftops. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. I've heard a million times, I suppose, in my life, well, we're not supposed to be afraid of God. Okay. Let's not be afraid of God. God loves us. God cares for us. God is the one who can also condemn your soul and body in hell. You might want to connect some dots there. If that doesn't drive you to a reverent fear, I don't know what will. I know that it's important for some people to understand that they have a loving Father who watches over them, guides them, would never do anything to harm them. But I know for other people, it is important for them to realize that there is a line to toe. We do not have the freedom to do whatever we want and call ourselves children of God. A well will not produce both salt water and fresh water. You're going to get one or the other. So you're either a believer with a changed life, or you're not a believer, pretending to be a believer so that you can live the old life. That's what the whole of Scripture is all about, is about finding that change in our lives. This week, we are going to be crossing a milestone in church history. On October 31st, it will mark the 500th anniversary of when Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther stood up to the church and began what was to become the Protestant Revolution. To understand how monumental this was, we need to look back 500 years to understand how the church functioned. 500 years ago, there were no denominations. This is something that would make a lot of skeptics happy. Have you ever heard of and asked the question, well, if everybody, maybe you said it yourself, if everybody's using the same Bible and they're all worshiping the same God, why are there so many different churches and denominations? Well, guess what? Those people are in luck. Because once upon a time, there was only one church. 500 years ago, it wasn't called the Catholic Church because they didn't need to be, they didn't need the identifier Catholic, which means general. They were just the church. They were the only church. So when a European went to church, they went to the only church that was in town. And nearly every church in the world was under the control of what we call the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope who ran it. So what we understand as Catholicism, imagine all the churches gone, all the evangelical churches, all Methodists, all Baptists, all everything, and that every church is a Catholic church. And so there wouldn't be a church here on this street. There wouldn't be a church over Methodist. There wouldn't be a church over Lutheran. There wouldn't be the Oak Bay. There wouldn't be any other church. We'd all just meet together in this one place. And I, if I were the priest, I would get up and I would read the sermon that I was told to read. I would never use the term turning your Bible to, because you wouldn't have a Bible. It's like, you kids, you don't bother with the Bible. I'm the grown-up. I'll explain it to you. That's what it was like 500 years ago. Now, when it comes to popes, popes a pope. We call the pope a man. The Catholic Church calls him the vicar. He's kind of God on earth. He is God's, you know, since God can't be here, he has the pope here instead. The pope is the manifestation of the of Peter. And I don't know how they do that without believing in reincarnation. But anyway, I'm not here to defend or condemn the Catholic Church. I'm just here to say that a lot of things have changed in 500 years. And though a lot of those things we don't understand. But there have been good and godly popes, and there have been crooked and greedy popes. And that was the problem. And on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther, a monk, a priest, he was angry with Pope Leo X's new round of indulgences to help build St. Peter's Basilica. So let me explain real quickly what indulgences are. First off, indulgences are things that you buy. Now, how many of you guys think that you've done enough good works to go to heaven? Okay, nobody's there. But, you know, when you look at somebody like one of the apostles, like Paul or Peter, they did so many good things. They did more good things than they needed to. So they had a surplus of good works. So I'll tell you what I'll do. John, I'll sell you some of Peter's good works. So, if you could come up with, say, a check for $300 to help build the basilica, I'll make sure that you get those good works on you. And then you won't spend as much time in purgatory as you currently have scheduled. Martin Luther read his Bible, and he thought that's just wrong. So one day he sat down, or one day, or one series of days, he sat down and he began to write 95 theses. These are 95 short statements, and when he got them all written down, he nailed them on the chapel door at the University of Wittenberg. Now, this was kind of before newspapers and all that, so if you wanted to know what was going on, there were certain doors in every town, and that's where things were posted. It's kind of like, you know, if there's going to be a garage sale, there's certain places, intersections, where there's always a sign. So they had certain doors in the church. So he put up these 95 theses. So there they are. I know you can't read it. I thought about finding a better copy, but it's written in German anyway, so it probably doesn't matter. But Luther intended these 95 theses to be discussion points. Hence, he put them up at the university. Oh, but because the printing press had just been invented, suddenly copies of it were flying out everywhere. Luther had put up this copy that he thought was going to remain there. And then he made another copy and he sent it to the Archbishop of Mainz. And he was calling on him to end the sale of indulgences based on these 95 reasons. But because of the printing press, within 2 weeks, there were copies all over Germany. And the general public was reading. Within 2 months, they were all throughout Europe. The church didn't take them long to get a copy. They moved to stop this act of defiance. So on October 1518, 1 year later, at a meeting with Cardinal Thomas Cajetan, I'm guessing, at Augsburg, Martin Luther was ordered to recant his 95 theses by the authority of the Pope. Luther said he would not recant unless Scripture proved him wrong. He went further, stating that he didn't consider that the papacy had the authority to interpret Scripture. Well, the meeting ended in a shouting match, and it initiated the ultimate Luther's ultimate excommunication from the church. Now, the rest of that's all covered in Martin Luther's biography, which is in. Now, so again, if you're not familiar with indulgences, an indulgence is a way to reduce the amount of punishment one has to undergo for sins. In short, you could give some money to the church to absolve you from your sin. Now, you might be thinking, what's up with that? Because that's Jesus' job. That's what the entire New Testament teaches. And now you know what Martin Luther was so upset about. These 95 theses, they're 95 sentences stating what was wrong with the church. Luther posted them on October 31st, a date that's called, that then, 500 years ago, was called Hallowed Eve. It was called Hallowed Eve because it was the day before. for All Saints Day. All Saints Day was a day celebrated by the church where they celebrated the saints that were dead. Of course, you have to be dead to be a saint in the Catholic Church. But so it was kind of like Mexico's Day of the Dead. So it was a celebration of all the saints, because they had lots of different saints. So as you were preparing to celebrate your favorite saint, kind of like your favorite football team, as you were preparing to celebrate your favorite saint, you couldn't do it all in one day, so you had to prepare on Hallowed Eve before All Saints Day. Now, All Saints Day had to be a very special day to Martin Luther. Remember, Martin Luther was Catholic. Luther was the son of a coal miner, and his father wanted Martin to become a lawyer to keep him out of the coal mines. But in July 1505, Luther had a life-changing experience that sent him on a new course to becoming a monk. Caught in a horrific thunderstorm where he feared for his life, Luther cried out to Saint Anne, the patron saint of miners, "Save me, Saint Anne, and I will become a monk." The storm subsided and he was saved. Now, perhaps Luther was on this October 31st, 1517. Perhaps he's calling on all the saints to save him, because he's posting these 95 theses. He's going to need all the help he can get. The son of a coal miner who once studied to be an attorney set the organized church on its ear. The long-term result of Luther's action was that the Protestant church grew into what we see today. Good or bad? Luther was moved greatly by one passage. He has several passages that were like his favorite passage, but one passage moved him greatly. Romans 1, 16 and 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. It is written, the righteous shall live. You can't buy forgiveness." That's what Luther was saying. Regardless of what the Pope said, you can't buy forgiveness. That's what this monk from Wittenberg, Germany was saying. In 1517, Luther decided that the Bible was the authority, not the Pope. And what happened at lightning speed for the time after that was just amazing. 1532, King Henry VIII separated England from the Catholic Church, and the Reformation was well underway. So we're only talking here 15 years later. The church, the Catholic Church, was losing its power. Now it's sunk and it rose, and there's a lot in church history. But what I want you to know, when we get to Halloween and everybody's saying, "Well, it's the devil's holiday." You know what? Halloween is just like all the rest of the holidays. It started out belonging to God. Just like Christmas. Started out belonging to God, and somehow Santa Claus bought it. Just like Easter. Started out about the resurrection, and then this bunny showed up. All of our holidays, one after another, who are sitting before the throne of God interceding for us in heaven. That's what the day was all about. And Luther understood from reading Scripture that the righteous shall live by faith. How is your faith? You know, scale 1 to 10. Where's your faith? I know some days it's here, some days it's there. Some days you feel like a 0. Some days you might feel like 10. Or maybe 8's as high as you ever go. Or, you know. Where is your faith, though? Because what I want you to see out of this message is that the son of a coal miner who was studying to be an attorney, who got caught in a thunderstorm and made a pledge to Saint Anne, whoever that was, that he would become a monk if he lived through it, that he changed the course of Christendom. What could you do? Luther didn't even have a computer. He didn't have a car or a telephone or an airplane. He didn't have anything like we have today. How long would it take you to write 95 theses if every 6 letters you had to dip it in the, you know? Because he's like using the old feather, right? Getting a little ink, writing away. Ink, a few letters, stop mid-word, get some more ink. How long would that take? He changed the course of history. I want you to get these 2 Bible passages that are fit for every Halloween. Number 1, the righteous shall live by faith. Number 2, Matthew 10:27-30. What I tell you in the dark, say to the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. How is your proclamation going? Are you sharing your good message of salvation out and amongst the people? I have people sometimes, and they'll ask me, you know, David, I knew you when we were kids. I knew you when we were in high school. How did you ever become a pastor? And it's like, I heard the voice of God. And the conversation ends right there. Because they don't want to hear it anymore, because now I'm nuts. But it is what happened. And it changed my life. There's more to it. Depending on how long I want to engage the people in a conversation, I might go back and say, well, you know, I always thought, you know, I just always thought, I grew up always thinking that heaven was a place where everybody went, and hell was a place that was reserved for bad people, you know, like Adolf Hitler and Charles Manson and people like that. You had to earn hell, but you got heaven for free. Because I always heard it was a free gift. And then I understood later that that's not it at all. It's completely the other way around. We've earned hell just by being born separated from God, and we have to live and change to get on heaven's track. Hell is the interstate. Heaven's an exit. When I start talking to people about that, some agree, and others they kind of, well, that's a nice thing to have me. But I am reminded that I don't need to fear their opinion, for I am more valuable than the animals that God created. Me, I, and so are you. More valuable than many sparrows. More valuable than many horses. More valuable than many camels. More valuable than many cars. You. Because you were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that makes you worth more than you ever thought you could be worth. Today I want you to keep that in mind as we celebrate this 500 years of Protestantism. Of course, if we pronounce it correctly, it's Protestantism. For the Protestants or Protestants. We didn't protest God like the Catholics accused us of. We just protested the failure to use the Scripture. So now we let the Scriptures guide us. And we're transformed by it. So everyone who acknowledges me, Jesus says, before man, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Do your words do that? Is Jesus' name safe in your mouth? When you speak of him, is there a twinkle in your eye and a smile in your lips? Are you excited at the very thought? Whenever it comes to mind, does your world light up a little bit and get a little more brighter? Because that's the call of the New Testament Christian. Because we live by faith. It's not our faith that, I don't know how I'm going to say this. It's not our faith that saves us. It is our faith in God that saves us. Our faith in Jesus that saves us. So just having faith, everything will turn out fine, that doesn't save us. Being optimistic doesn't save us. Having faith, God has his hand right on your life. And that no matter where he's guided you to today, if you're having surgery tomorrow or whatever, he's brought you here, and if you get through it or you don't, you'll be just fine. Your family and your friends might be disappointed. But if I die tomorrow on that operating table, don't do no seance to bring me back. Because I'm where I've been planning to go for a long, long time. Let the light of Jesus come alive in you. First thing you've got to do is acknowledge that apart from him, you are nothing. 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 You created in his image, but you have no life. If you do not fear God, you will simply die and be separated from him in hell, a real life, for eternity. But if you live believing in him, when you die, you will rise to life like Jesus did. And you will go to the place where God lives, which is heaven. So that's the two choices. You can stay on the freeway and go to the place where people go who don't believe in God, where God is not. That's described as hell. Or you can take the exit and go to the place where God lives. Just like going to grandma's house. Sooner or later, you got to get off the freeway. She doesn't live on the freeway. You got to take the exit. The exit's not a number. The exit is a name. And the name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's stand together.
Just remembering, Lord, that church as we know it did not fall from the sky. It was created by men and women that worked diligently to see it happen. They were oppressed on every corner. Many were burned at the stake for what they believed. Luther spent years in prison, in exile, but he used that time, Lord, to write the first German Bible. So, Father, he did not let his adversity stop him, but he grew in you so that we could grow. So, Father, help us. Help us today to make a difference here in our community and in our families.
Father, you have sent us this day to make this difference. The first thing we must do is believe that Jesus Christ has set us free from our sin. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus today, you got to stay with him. If you've decided to follow him, there's no turning back. Just pursue. When days are difficult and times are hard, just press on. Who knows how God might use you? Maybe he'll use you, even like he used the son of a coal miner who studied to be an attorney and wound up becoming a priest because he was scared in the thunderstorm. Prayed to a saint that wasn't even there. But God used him. God used him. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. I lift up this congregation. I just pray that your hand of love would be upon them. I pray, Father, that you'd guide them in their comings and their goings this week. Father, I pray that you'd help them to be ambassadors of you, that they would not fear whatever comes out, even if it's a diagnosis of death. For Father, death is no longer a guarantee to those who believe. Oh, we know we'll leave this body, but we do not know, Lord, whether it will be rapture, or on the day that this body can no longer endure this planet. But this one thing we do know, we have hope and we have confidence that your hand is upon us every step of the way, so we will not fear. And in Jesus' name.